Amen. We need to understand the power that is in the name, the resurrecting power. I'm not just talking about resurrecting dead bodies, but resurrecting bodies that are alive. Amen. Glory to God. As we're leaving, I mentioned Brother Fitch raised from the dead. I mentioned Sister Bear healed of breast cancer. And it was like this guy that was at the Johnson's house. No, you're kidding. Really, somebody ought to tell this from the rooftop. Well, that's what we're trying to do. But you should not be surprised about what's happening because we're apostolic faith church. We believe in the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' experience. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The altar's now open. Revelation 1 and verse number 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Everybody's going to see our Lord Jesus when he comes back, descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Amen. And then verse 18, Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Or he's going to take the power from the enemy, hand it to us, and he's going to defeat death. Amen. That's what he did at Calvary. There's a lot of strange thinking about Calvary, but he defeated our greatest enemy, and that is death. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word. We ask, God, that it be etched in our mind, and God, that we give you the praise for what you have done every day. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to John 20? We're going to read a few scriptures here. It's, you know, we can paraphrase all of this, but it's better coming out of the Bible. And yes, I'm old-fashioned. I believe that it's the King James Version because it is the closest rendition of the original text. Some of these versions, I'll tell you what. See, what happens if somebody wants to write another version of the Bible, there has to be something like 10% change from the original script. You know, so what happens is they eliminate verses, they put words in there that aren't really related to the scripture. So why not stay with the real thing? Verse 1 of that 20th chapter says, "On the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, who is John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. O ye of little faith. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter." John was faster. "And came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." You know what? You can be first to the altar, but you still have to get into the presence of God. "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. Now, as soon as she had seen this, you know, these people were students of the Old Testament. They, you know, we had a rendition of the tabernacle here, beautifully portrayed this morning. But these people knew exactly what the tabernacle was all about. And as soon as she saw the angel on one end and one on the other end, immediately it was a shadow and type of picture of the Ark of the Covenant, that Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. Verse 13, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. I mentioned Wednesday night, there are times when we're in trouble, there are times when we're under great pressure, and all of a sudden, we don't recognize that Jesus is with us. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and say unto him, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins are retained, they are retained. These are such important scriptures on the resurrection. Amen. He walked through a wall. Someday we're going to have a glorious body fashioned after his glorious body. Folks, there's going to be a time where we'll never have to worry about aches and pains, never worry about being tired to come to an evening service, never worried about how am I going to get from place to place or how am I going to get in. You can walk through walls because you're going to have a glorious body such as Jesus' glorious body. We're going to be able to recognize each other. I'm sorry, you're not going to get a different body. You're going to have the same body. Everyone's going to recognize you. But it will never deteriorate. It will take on immortality. Now, what we have described here is the original scenario for every Sunday church service. They all are patterned after the description that we just read. There was a pre-dawn earthquake. God may have moved his arm and shook the world, but it shook the room and caused some to awake. Every service should shake somebody into a place of reality of who God really is. Have you ever had God wake you in the middle of the night in order to minister to somebody else in the body of Christ? Oh, the first thing people think about when they decide to go to church is, well, where is the body? First of all, is this the body of Christ? We have to identify, is this the true church, or do we seek another? Is this the one? Everybody says they have truth, but do they follow the formula that we have in the book? But the question is, how will I overcome all of the obstacles in order to get there? How do we move the huge stone in the way of his body? And there have all been obstacles in every one of our lives before we got to full truth and an audience with our God. We all have had our share of huge stones. Amen. Impossible things. Right. You know, I really like to serve God. I really like to get to church. I really like to have a relationship with God, but you know what? I've got these things going on. I've got some things in my past, and I've got some things that I need to be delivered from right now. Preconceived ideas of what church should really be like and how you would be judged. Habits that we need to let go, and we've tried to let them go over and over again, and we just can't get them out of the way in order to get to our God, when God's saying, no, no, just get to me and I'll roll the stones away and you have full access to me. And then what about the Sanhedrin? You know, the seal on the tomb forbidding entrance to the body. Traditional religion forbids entrance to the true body of Christ. You can't get there anymore. There aren't miracles. You do not have to make such a display of worship and emotion to God. It's not necessary. He doesn't require it. Having a form of godliness and denying the power of God is a formula for most religions today. And then there is the soldiers guarding the tomb. You know, I know there's a big stone there, you know, and the Sadducees, well, they set a seal on this thing. And then if we could just get beyond the stone, if we could just get beyond the seal, what about the soldiers that stand guard over it? What will my family and friends say? Those are the soldiers. You know, every time someone's baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, I feel like I have to send a booklet with them saying, you know what, your family's not going to like what you're doing. There's going to be some problems here. There's going to be some separation here, because it's the first instrument the enemy of your soul will try to use in order to separate you from the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know what was going on through the mind of Mary Magdalene, but I am glad that she kept going. Amen. You know, Brother Portman said, we think too much. You know, Peter and John and Mary, they didn't think about, how am I going to get to him? I just got to get there. You know what? I've got this headache. I've got this backache. I've got some financial problems. I've got this mess at work, and I don't know how I could even concentrate on God, but if I could just get to church, I think my God can take care of those situations for me. It said, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, a bad time in her life, but she went to church. And when she arrived, the stone, well, it was already moved away. In fact, the scripture said that an angel sat on the stone, rolled the stone away, and the angel sat on the stone. You know what that meant? You're not moving the stone back. If God has delivered you from something that you couldn't be delivered from, I'm telling you what, there's an angel that's sitting on it, and he said, you're not going to take that thing up again. You're not going to have restrictions from the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And when she arrived, the stone was gone, and isn't it amazing that the soldiers were gone as well? You know, I'd really like to make a commitment, but I know my family would just disown me. Don't worry about your family. Worry about God. Amen. You know, When we came into the church, and I've said this before, my wife's family disowned us. We didn't have any communication for 3 years, no Christmases, no birthdays, no nothing. My kids were little. They asked for the keys to their house back because they were afraid that we were going to take all the furniture and sell it and give the money to the church. You know, some crazy things, you know. But slowly, God just opened the door, saw that we weren't the crazies that they originally thought. We weren't on drugs. We weren't doing horrible things, dastardly things, and everybody else around was. And God can take care of those obstacles. He can remove them. You do too much thinking about what's going to happen in the future when God says, I already have the victory. You just take the first step. Mary was so surprised that she had access to Jesus that she didn't even go into the tomb. And you know what? I'm surprised even today that I have access to God. But she ran to tell the disciples, and the disciples were also shocked by the news. I hope we're not shocked by miracles anymore. You know, I think we ought to be shocked if people don't get healed. You know, there's always a Mary and a John and a Peter in every congregation. John outran Peter to the tomb, but John didn't go in, but looked around outside the tomb, and we've had people... I can tell you, we've had people who have been invited to this church, parked on the parking lot, stayed in the car, but couldn't come into the church because they knew there was something supernatural in this place. And then there are some who come in, and they're looking around, and they watch all of us crazy people get emotional with God, you know, but then they don't find God themselves, and they just go home. Peter ran right inside to see the evidence of the empty tomb. I want to experience Pentecost, you see. He saw the grave clothes and the linen bandages used to wrap Jesus and the napkin that was about his head, but now folded in a special place. Perhaps both Peter and John concluded that service is now over and we can go home. We've done everything we can. We came to church. You know, but I don't know who's going to really investigate. Now, sometimes we come to church, and it's Pentecost as usual, but somebody ought to find Jesus before they leave. Just don't walk into an empty church and say, we're going to do it just like we always did it before, but without getting a hold of God, without allowing him to touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. But Mary, well, she lingered on. I would think it was probably the first altar call, you know, where she said, you know what, I'm going to find him. What have you done with him? You show me where you laid him and I'll take him myself. She began to weep and was lost in her grief, and she just wasn't satisfying knowing Jesus was risen. She wanted to touch him. She wanted communication. She wanted to know where his body was. I can tell you where his body is. 3045 Airline Road. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to know where church is? You want to know where Jesus is? Amen. We're the body of Christ. Amen. I hope you aren't satisfied with just knowing he's risen. But you need to see the body of Christ, the church, which will comfort and reassure you not only of his resurrection, but our own resurrection. Amen. Mary then stooped down and looked again to see two angels in the tomb, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And then she turned back and saw Jesus standing and didn't recognize him. I'm wondering sometimes we can walk in here and not even recognize the great power in the presence of God that is in this place every time we gather. If two or three are gathering in his name, there he is in the midst. From time to time, God has opened the eyes of people within this congregation. I can't tell you how many times they've come to me or my wife has seen angels that are ministering in this place. If God would open our eyes to the spiritual realm, we'd see the power that is in here, not just how was the service. Well, there was a good special, and, you know. When John the Baptist found himself in prison, he sent word to Jesus and asked, are you the one or do we seek another? I want you to know that we are responsible for displaying Jesus to everybody around us. It took 10 days for the Holy Ghost to fall in the upper room. And it could it be that there were just two or three holdouts, those who just decided, you know, I don't know if it's that necessary to worship God. We can't see him. He just left. But we have, each of us, a responsibility in order to display God and to create an atmosphere where the Spirit of God moves in this place so someone is reassured of a truth. God is among those people, like it says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. So he says, find out. Is he really the one? He saw miracles. John saw miracles. He baptized Jesus. He recognized, he was the first one to recognize him, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus says in Luke 7 and 22, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Now, if that isn't evidence enough, if you're really looking for the true body of Christ, you need to find the body of Christ, like it says in Mark 16 and 17, these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Any questions? Who the real body is? It's the ones with the power. When Jesus saith unto her, Mary, you'll notice, you'll always know him by his voice and his touch. She turned and knew it was Jesus. I'll tell you where Jesus is not. He's not in a cold, damp, silent tomb. I walked into that place. It is the place where they laid him 2,000 years ago. It's just a cave, if you will, with a slab, and there is no stone. They have not been able to find the stone. You know, this huge stone is gone. Nobody knows where it is. And thousands of people every year walk into an empty tomb. Hallelujah. He's not there. He's not in a cold, silent, dull church service. I know he's not there. He's not. I've been in some of the greatest cathedrals all over the world. Beautiful, ornate, gold dripping all over. He's not there, folks. Jesus wants to be where people are shouting and praising him in victory. He said in Psalms 150:6, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. You're never far from him if you just praise him. Amen. There are too many people in churches celebrating the joy that will come someday. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. I can't wait to get to heaven because we can worship God. No, no. You need to worship God here. I'm telling you, you can have the joy here. You can have the relationship here. You can see the miracles here. We are not only celebrating his resurrection, but we are celebrating our own resurrection. I talked to Brother Urich after service, and he and his wife are still grieving over their son's death, as the Marquards are. It's a very difficult thing to get through. And I told him this morning, I said, you know, there's only two things that'll help you. It's a God that can comfort you and time that will heal you. And I know that's true for our family with our grandson dying. But I said, you know what? It could be just a matter of moments before you are with him. You see, what's going to happen is God is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall raise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 7 years after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're coming back to the earth to live and reign with Christ in a completely different atmosphere. It's going to be a paradise. It's going to be when the Lamb lays down with the lion. There won't be any sickness anymore. People will live hundreds of years like they did at the very beginning. And you're going to have 1,000 years with your son, not in a wheelchair anymore. Amen. Our grandson who died because of a mistake in a hospital, and God allowed that to happen. Well, there's going to be 1,000 years, and I'm going to teach him how to play tennis. I mean, folks, does it make any sense that God would take babies to heaven? For what reason? There's 1,000 years here on earth before we ever get to heaven for the purpose of those things happening here. And I'm looking forward to it. Now, well, we're thinking, in our estimation, that could be hundreds of years from now. Not the way I see the world is going, folks. God could come back at any time. It may be just a little while before we are with our loved ones again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The stone's been rolled away. Not only in that grave, but the stone has been rolled away for our entrance into the body of Christ, that we could have the fullness of joy right now. We live so far below the privilege of what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Why couldn't they find this huge stone? Because it represented death. And death has been rolled away forever. There is never going to be any kind of obstacle for anybody who wants to find Jesus. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29 and 13, on the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you're going to find me. No prerequisites, no obstacles. If you really want to find God, you can find God tonight. There are too many people who think, well, in God's time, you know, it's going to work out. No, no. God said, today is a day of salvation. All you need to do is get to the place where you have a desire for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything that happens in the life of Jesus had a meaning. It had a purpose. Why was the stone rolled away? Not so Jesus could get out. But that we could get in, folks. The empty tomb is the entrance into everlasting life. He died that I might die in repentance. He was buried that I could be buried in baptism for the remission of sins. He rose again that I would be alive forevermore, that we could have a life and life more abundantly. God is not in the takeaway business. People walk into church thinking, I've got to give up this, and I got to give up that, and you know, and it's going to be such a restricted life. No, God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. He wants to add to it, you see. Well, I'd have to give up this, and I'd have to give up that. And you people are so under bondage. No, no. No, you got it turned around, folks. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 4 and 23, for the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. Jesus said to Mary, woman, why weepest thou? Her immediate impulse was to hold him, to grab a hold of him. Your immediate response to somebody who loves you and you love them is to grab a hold of them. You know what? That's why we're so desperate to have an altar call, so desperate to have a great church service, because we're in love with God, and the only way we know in order to express that love is through touching God and having God touch us, you see. So her immediate response was to reach out, but Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." That must have been one of the most difficult things. My God is alive after I'm thinking that he has died. He's been taken away. He's been buried. I'm never going to see him again. And there he is standing in front of us. Amen. That's going to happen for almost every one of us. We got loved ones that are going to stand before us one day, and we won't resist. We will grab them, and we will hug them, and we will reunite with them. And so Jesus is saying, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I can't imagine anything worse than coming to church and God saying, no, don't touch me. But yet that's what religion does. Don't touch me. Sit there, fold your hands, bow your head. I've been there. I don't want to go back, you see. Later in the scripture, Mary held the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. Thomas was invited to touch the nail prints and put his hand in his side. So why was Mary forbidden to touch him at this most crucial time when she saw him for the first time after the resurrection? Scriptures describe Christ as a high priest, and he had to fulfill this type in harmony with the Day of Atonement. For he had to, as a high priest in the temple, be undefiled to enter into the holies of holies. He couldn't be touched by anyone. He was sanctified and purified in order to enter into the holiest of holies, for Jesus was to ascend immediately into heaven and present the blood sacrifice in the holiest of holies that is in heaven. Now, we heard about the tabernacle that was set up in the wilderness, but there is an identical tabernacle set up in heaven, just as in the wilderness, just as the high priest did in the earthly tabernacle. This Jesus had to meet with the same requirements in heaven before he could appear to Mary. Touch me all you want. Come on, Thomas. Come on, you doubter. Come on, come on. Touch me. Amen. Jesus was both the bleeding sacrifice for our sins and the officiating priest making the sacrifice. So he's saying, I'll be back. I wonder if they really felt like he was coming back in their lifetime when he rose into heaven. But I'll tell you, we're closer now than we have ever been before. I've never seen an election like I have witnessed what's going on right now. I've never seen America in the place that America is right now. We were told last night that all Christian services like Easter and Christmas and any particular Christmas extra special services are all canceled in the prison. But they have special services for the American Indian, for the Wiccans. They have special services for the Muslims and any service they want. How in the world can that happen? But we're seeing that we're getting closer and closer to the very end. Would you turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the 9th chapter? Hebrews 9 and 22. It says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus is what remitted our sins, not just pushed them ahead, but eradicated. And so the blood of Jesus had to be transported to a Ark of the Covenant that is in heaven. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Amen. I'm so glad that was all taken care of, because he's saying tonight, come on and touch me. Touch me. Jesus went into the heaven once and for all to eradicate our sins, not just postpone the penalty like he did in the Old Testament. Then he went to hell, kicked the devil in the teeth, took the keys of hell and death, and handed them to Peter to deliver on the day of Pentecost, the message and the freedom. He eradicated the worst enemy that we have, and that enemy is death. You see, you can't get the victory over hell before you've had a heavenly experience. Amen. There are many who want to have victory over all kinds of things in their life. I want to be delivered. You can have a 12-step program or a 112-step program, but unless you've had an experience from heaven, you're never going to get the victory. And we need that victory. Amen. Glory to God. Turn to Matthew 27. We're coming to an end. Matthew 27 and 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Here's the two things that God was showing us at the time that he died. That veil separating the holy place from the holiest of holies, which only the high priest could enter, now was ripped from top to bottom, signifying that each and every one of us becomes a high priest and we are allowed into the presence of God. And by his death, many were made alive. I don't care how long we've been living in sin and under all kinds of habits and all kinds of things that prevent us from coming to God. God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. And then our last scriptures, if the musicians would come, Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, when he said, Mary, hold on, I've got to do something first. He took his own blood and he poured it over the mercy seat in heaven. And as a result, we have the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. How? Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He died for us that we could have access to him. Hallelujah. Soldiers, back! back off. Stone, roll away. I don't care what the Sanhedrin court says. I don't care what traditional religion says. We have access to Jesus right now, in the middle of the night, anytime we want. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the disciples huddled in a room. They're afraid that they're going to have the same end that Jesus, that there's going to be soldiers knocking on the door. Come with me. We're going to put you on the cross. So they lock the doors. They bolt the windows. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the wall. I'll tell you what, there are a few that wanted to hold him and touch him and be reassured. Amen. You've come back to life. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what your situation is. But my God can walk through the wall for you. Amen. He can take care of your situation, folks. There's nothing impossible. We've sang it tonight. There's nothing too hard for our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me?